Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. Christ took away all our infirmities and bore away our diseases. Alleluia. Alleluia. Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him and stayed close to the sea. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came forward, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, saying, "My daughter is at the point of death. Please come lay your hands on her that she may get well and live." He went off with him, and a large crowd followed him. Now there was a woman afflicted with hemorrhages for 12 years. She suffered greatly at the hands of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet she was not helped, but only grew the worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I shall be cured." And immediately her flow of blood dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, aware at once that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who has touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see how the crowd is pressing in on you, and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it, and the woman, realizing what had happened to her, approached in fear and trembling. She fell down before him and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace, be cured of your affliction." While he was still speaking, people from the synagogue official's house arrived and said, "Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any longer?" Disregarding the message that was reported, Jesus said to the synagogue official, "Do not be afraid. Just have faith." And he did not allow anyone to accompany him inside except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they arrived at the house of the synagogue official, he saw kind of a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. So he went in and said to them, "Why this commotion and this weeping? The child is not dead, but asleep." And they ridiculed him. Then he put them all out, and he took along the child's father and mother and those who were with him and entered the room where the child was. And he took the child by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And the girl, a child of 12, arose and immediately walked around. At that, they were utterly astounded. He gave strict orders that no one should know this and said that she should be given something to eat. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So, there are a couple of different things that are important that are happening in the lesson from today's Gospel. Yesterday, this picks up from what happened yesterday. So yesterday, Jesus was in the region of the Gerasenes, which is outside Jewish territory. So he was with the pagans, and as they came upon a cemetery, a possessed man came out and sort of tempted and teased Jesus. And Jesus cast the demon out of the man and sent the demon into the swine. And then the swine ran headlong into the sea. I remember as a kid, my Uncle Eddie, who had a farm down at Derby, used to say, "We'd ask him to leave town too if he chased all of our pigs into the sea." But the people are so freaked out by what happened with the pigs, they're afraid of Jesus ruining all their livestock. So they make him get in a boat and go back across the sea into Jewish territory. What happens today is in some ways kind of the opposite of what happened yesterday. Yesterday, he's in pagan territory and he encounters a man possessed by the devil. Here, he comes back into Jewish territory and he immediately meets a devout Jew. So he goes from pagan territory where bad stuff happens to Jewish territory where the people are supposed to be friendly. And the synagogue official comes to him and says, my daughter's sick, near death, come. And so he goes off. Now on the way, he meets a woman. And this is where things begin to get interesting. So the little girl who's sick is 12 years old. And while we all know that girls and boys mature at slightly different ages, each kid, for the most part, 12 was kind of the mark off for the Jews for when a girl went from being a girl to being a woman. So the fact that the girl is just on the cusp of womanhood, definitely has not had her first child yet, makes the prospect of her dying very sad, right? Something's gone fundamentally wrong here, and we still see this. The death of children freaks us out a lot more than the death of the old. As he's walking, a woman happens upon him, a woman who's suffered from this hemorrhage, a woman whose womanhood is what's causing her problem. And it's she who winds up being the one who has the dramatic encounter with the Lord Jesus. Sure. Of course. Yay, Susie. We saved a spot for you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Not even a little. There you go. So anyhow, this old lady, she comes up and she just grabs the tassel of Jesus' cloak. And that's what makes that, that's enough to get her healed. The old woman's story being kind of sandwiched in the middle of the young girl's story is important, because when Jesus then gets to the house and it turns out this girl is dead, something very different happens. He never says she's not dead, but he puts the people out and brings only those closest to her in, because what he's about to do is a kind of a special gift just for them. The church gives us this story, the story of the death and the rising of this little girl, paired with the story of King David losing his son for a reason. Do you hear the anguish in David's voice? Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. Now this is really crazy. Absalom is the worst son in history. He's a big jerk and he's been trying to kill his father for more than a year. So the ordinary response to this, when the person who's trying to kill you winds up dead, would be to say, thank God, good riddance, no son of mine. But that's not what David says. Because he's his son, and he can't let go his son no matter what he does. And so David prays, and he weeps, and he fasts, and the people are so moved by David's weeping, David's grieving, that they in turn grieve themselves. All right, so what's this got to do with us? Old people stuck in a home on the south side on a Tuesday morning. Every one of us, even the youngest one here, has known some deep grief, something that's caused us to call out another person's name, a kid, a spouse, a friend, and just say it over and over again. Absalom, Absalom, Mary, Mary, George, George, whatever it is. And different prayers, right, demand different kinds of responses. In the psalm, David says, Lord, listen and answer me. Just answer. But the prayer of David for Absalom is different than the prayer of the synagogue official for his daughter. The prayer of the woman with the hemorrhage doesn't even have words attached to it. And yet it still cries out to be answered. Each of us comes here to the Lord's own altar with a prayer. Maybe with words and maybe without. Maybe with a heavy and grieving heart, maybe not. Maybe with an ailment physically that needs healed, and maybe with a hurt in our heart that needs calmed. The important thing isn't what we have to pray for, but that we're willing to pray, no matter what the outcome or what the gift God longs to give us today.